Gracious Father, we thank you this evening for another privilege to be in your house. We thank you for our gathering here on Sunday and the blessings you shower upon us. Thank you for watching over us as that time till now. We are grateful unto you for your daily mercies, favor, and blessings unto us. Thank you, O God, for bringing us to your house for this midweek prayer meeting. Thank you for the worship service. We want to commit the rest of the service to your hand, the short exhortation, and also the time of prayers. We ask you to inspire us, teach us how to pray, help us to believe, help us to be in expectation, take away doubt and unbelief. Lord, that we might receive the substance of our request to the glory of your name. Remember those who will not be present tonight, especially the pastor. We pray you touch his body and perfect his health. Thank you, Father. At the end of the service, may I bring us to the glory unto you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn on our Bible to Hebrews, again, chapter 11. Thank you. Hebrews, chapter 11, from verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Then it's in John chapter 18, verse 37. St. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Are thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou seest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. Can please be seated. Last Sunday we did a review in the Sunday school of all that we have covered in this sermon. And we are just finishing the review when the Sunday school time ended. So this short time that we have, we want to look at Joseph in continuation of our message of the revelation of the purpose of our existence. I just want us to keep that topic in our heart, because once we lose the sight or the thought of the topic, then the other thing will just become stories. Because we are speaking of things that all of us are familiar with. We are mentioning characters that we have had times without number. We have read about times without number. And the smallest boy or girl can almost tell us stories of them. But every time there is something, we are just emphasizing. So I will want to look briefly at Joseph. Joseph, as we know, is the first son of Rachel. Rachel, the wife of Jacob. It was because of Rachel, that Jacob served Laban for 7 years, only to find Leah beside him when he thought they would give him Rachel. And he told Laban that this is not the agreement. Said, well, the custom here, that's how it goes. The first one go before the second. If you really love her very well, love can go to any extent. So, another 7 years. So he started, and finally the 7 years finished, and then had Rachel. And Rachel wasn't having seed on time, but finally, when she was to have the first, was Joseph, and after that, Benjamin. This Joseph, as we know, was specially loved of the father, but the brethren, his brothers, hated him. And from the scriptures, the reason why they hated him was because of the dreams he was having. Not that they will say he shouldn't have dreams, but the very type of the dream that he was having was not the type that was favorable. It was the type that was telling them, Abraham called it a vision, which I will read for us here, that he had a vision and saw himself sitting on a throne. And the prophet said a dream that is interpreted is equal to a vision. That he saw himself sitting on a throne and then bowing down to him. Of course, as at that time, he was a small boy. But Reuben can almost have him as his own son because of the age difference. So, the dreams were not, he had it the first time, he told them, he had the second one was even including his parents. Then they say, certainly this thing, it cannot be from God, and we have to put a stop to it. And they made all the effort, and we saw the result of the effort. Whatever man does cannot change God's program. Before we come here, God has a program. And that program will run through. It will run through whether I like it, whether I don't like it. And even there is nothing I can even do about my destination, where I will end it up at the end of this journey. It's a serious thing, but it's the bitter truth. Because before I was conceived in my mother's womb, my journey on this earth has been concluded by God, and it is settled. And there is no development that can happen while I'm here on earth that can change that one. Whether it is prayer, whether it is fasting, whether it is doing good, whether it is anything, will not be able to change or amend what is said of me. It is that confidence that Brother Abraham had when somebody told him that, I believe you are the Antichrist. He said, if that is the will of God for me, then that is what I want to be. Because there is nothing he can do about God's will. If that is what God has brought me to this earth to come and be, then that is what I will be finally. When I preach this message at Ife, in a short form, of course, something I have taken here a number of times, but I have to just point it at it. I'll tell you this one to that. When somebody does not have the revelation of the purpose of his existence here on earth, his life will just be meaningless. Jesus said of somebody, one of his disciples, it would have been better if he was not born. That it would have been better. And there are mortals that are even living that statement is also applicable to as we are here. Mortals that were born of men and women and they are presently living, and it would have been better they were not born. Because they are serpent seed and they are manifesting that, and there is not even a future hope for them for amendment. You know, each time I think of the experience of Brother Abraham that he narrated to us in the message, souls that are in prison, it baffles someone. That 40 years back, which was 1964 minus 40. That's how many years now? That's which year is that? 24. I think it was 1963 or so that he had, that he preached that. So 40 years back. He was at the age of 14. It should be 2023. I mean, 1923. Because he was 14 years of age. Because of the operation he had when the gun blew his leg. That's when he had that encounter and experience. And he discovered that he, as if he was going and going out of life. And he broke into a place where he was going to an end. He said, keep falling. There was no end. Until he woke up, there was no end. He never stopped. He was going. And as a little boy, what comes to his mind is daddy. You know, when you are facing some horrifies, whatever, you think of your daddy. Just like Pastor Sir James was talking here on Sunday. He said that the boy was, he tried until he's able to see his daddy and now begin to. Because a child will always have that confidence that the daddy will rescue him if anything is to happen now. He said he screamed for daddy and there was no daddy there. He screamed for mommy. Mommy was not there. He cried. He said, God, help. God was not there. Ah! Which type of a place that God is not, father is not, mother is not, nobody can help somebody? Which type of place could this one be? And he saw people there that he could identify their face. And 40 years after, at JCPenney, when he saw that scene, he saw literally, it's not people that resemble them. This one is not a vision now. JCPenney was not a vision. It was a reality that he saw those people come out of the elevator, and he saw exactly the same face he saw in his vision for 40 years ago. People that he saw in hell. That affected him that he couldn't get himself. He has to tell the wife, are you done with what you are doing? Let's go. And the wife, being that he knows who Brother Abraham is, that is sensitive to spiritual things, was asking him, is there anything wrong? He said, are you true with what you are doing? Finish quick and let's go. Because he wants to pitch himself that, did I finally find myself also in hell? Because these are the people I saw 40 years ago in hell. Does it mean I've wandered it up and I've met myself there and he saw them? It was in hell, but literally he saw those people. These people we have seen 40 years, maybe as at that time they were small, small children also. At that 40 years ago, they were small children and they have not known each other. But now they were on earth at that time and they have grown now to become adults also.
And he could see that these are the people. It means that these ones, there's no preaching you can preach to them that will do them anything. They are destined to be in hell. And there are mortals like that on earth. May that not be our portion. Now, these are the reasons that we as individuals should take things of God serious. Don't misuse any opportunity you have. Because at the end of the day, you will suffer it alone. In the message, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that was 1960, December 4, paragraph 310. Now Joseph, when he was born, he was hated by his brethren. Is that right? The congregation there says amen. Now, I want to show you, Joseph represents the spirit-filled church. Joseph was hated of his brethren. Why? Because he was spiritual. Joseph could not help because he could see vision. He could not help because he dreamed dreams. See? And could interpret dreams. That was what was in him. He could not display anything else but what that was in him. Well then, his brothers hated him without a cause. Hatred is of the devil. There is no reason why somebody should hate. Though this one we are reading here, the Bible is saying without a cause. But even if there is similarly a cause, there is no reason why somebody should hate. Because Satan is hatred. Abraham said that God brought love, Satan brought hatred. But his father loved him because his father was a prophet. Proving his word, August 16, 1964, paragraph 102. It was horrible for Joseph to be considered dead. And poor Jacob, his father, to believe that his own son had been killed by animals. How hard it was on little Joseph to know that the poor little fellow, that's Jacob now, a poor little fellow away from his people, betrayed by his brethren, thrown into a ditch, supposedly to be dead, sheep blood put upon his coat, where they had slain a lamb to eat it. They ate the lamb. Put the blood upon it and took it to his father. And knowing all this, but Joseph could remember one thing, that the hand of the Lord was upon him. He knew that he was a believer. No matter how much his brothers turned him down, how much there was no cooperation or nothing else, Joseph knew God will keep his word. When he saw that vision of all of them bowing before him, he knew that that had to come to pass because it was thus said the Lord. Now, it was not because he's an arrogant fellow or proud or he wants to be over people. It was God that showed him the future. As a small boy, God showed him the future that a time is coming in future that it will come to pass like this, that you are going to sit on a throne. Where the throne is, he doesn't know. Whether the throne is in Jerusalem, whether it's in Bethlehem, whether it's going to be anywhere, he doesn't. Now that he has found himself in a foreign land, but in his heart, he still knew that God's work cannot fail. Because the dream was doubled to him, which means an assurance. It means that it will come to pass. I don't care how unreasonable it seemed. Joseph knew it was the truth. Only because he told them what God showed him. That was all. Abraham said, not everybody dreams. I think there are people here that doesn't dream. There should be. Let me ask today. If you don't dream at all, raise up your hand. You don't have dream at all. No, it's not. It's an act of God, though. So it's not. Me, I will tell you my own now. There's nothing to be ashamed about. I'll tell you my own. If you know that you don't dream, you have never dreamt before, raise up your hand. So everybody here is a dreamer. Wonderful. Which type of dream are you people dreaming? Me, I dream. But I don't regard it. And I want to believe that maybe 99%. That's because I've never been hearing people say, I dream like this, and then it comes to pass. I never did hear that. The dreams maybe come out of tiredness, maybe come out of sickness. No end, no tail. No beginning, no ending. And maybe sometimes when you feel happy, especially when I was small, you dream and see that you are catching snail, and the snail was plenty, only to wake up and find out that there is no snail. You'll be angry with yourself. So we count money, so say, and we'll be laughing at it, only to wake up and find out that they are still in debt. Sheesh! No, they are. Me, sometimes I pray that God, I don't want to have any dream. Yeah. God is of no use. Initially, dream is supposed to convey information. That's actually what it is meant for. God uses dream to pass information. But mostly Satan is, I'm thankful for the message that has given us a lot of things that leads to dream. The Bible said that dream come out of the multitude of business. This man had dream, revelation from God, and Abraham said, re-dreamer, they don't dream often. Sometimes they only hear no dream. But when they do have dream, now the prophet said further in a sermon here, a prisoner, which that is just one sermon from paragraph 167. I'll really quickly get to another character. I see one before me now. His name is Joseph. He was an elected son. He was a perfect type of Jesus. He was born a prophet. He was a prophet also. And now he could see vision. And when he's yet a little boy, he saw a vision of himself sitting on a throne and his brothers bowing to him. See? But watch. He felt like he was a great guy. See? All of them. But what did God have to do? He done the same thing that he did to the rest of them, because Moses was a deliverer, Paul was a deliverer, and now Joseph was a deliverer. He saved his people from the famine. What did God have to do to him? Put him in prison? Put him right straight to the prison? Yes, sir. Remember, he was sold by his brethren to an Egyptian, and they sold him to Potiphar, and Potiphar gave him a little bit of liberty, and the first thing you know, that was taken from him. And there he sits in the prison, crying, crying. God had to strip him. Now notice, but all the time, I believe, he in that prison, he could remember that the vision said that he was going to sit on a throne. And his brothers was going to bow to him, because he knew that his gift come from God. And he knew that it had to come to pass. If we could only keep that in our mind, and according to the word of God, that in these last days, he's going to have a church, he's going to have a people, and these things that he promised, he's going to do them, he said he would, And we are living in that time. We are there. He's just trying to get us to be real prisoners now, locked in with him. Amen. No, when we are through with, I see I have two more characters now I want to talk about before we read general quotes of what the prophet said to us as his instruction to individuals. We find ourselves in this, what we call the message of the hour. The voice of God in this last day. And it's a privilege to be there. A great privilege to come and know what God is doing in our own time. But we'll be worse off if we don't have the revelation of why God allows us to see this. Because Jesus told the disciples, blessed are your eyes that see this thing you are seeing. He said, there are people that desire to see them and they have not seen them. They desire, and they have not seen them. He will be preaching to the general people in parables, and then bring them inside and tell them the meaning of all the parables. And yet, these people will be judged by those parables. All the parables he told to them, he has preached already, and they will be judged by those things he has preached, when they don't even know the meaning. Because even if his own disciples are following there now, if they don't know the meaning, is it the general people that will know? They know nothing about it, and he will not explain, but he will bring his own insight and explain it to them. But out of them was the Judas. Jesus said, offenses must not but come. He said, but woe unto him through whom he came. It would have been better if he had not been born. Anybody that comes to this message of the hour and is not able to hit that mark of salvation, it would have been better if he was not born. Because the Brabham said that such a person is without hope. He said he is numbered by the power of Satan. He said this message of the hour, he said it is the presence of God that we are enjoying. He said a man walk away from it, he said he is without hope. He is numbered by the power of Satan. He is hopeless. Such a person would have been better if he was not born. It is too late for you now to carry your load and say, let me quickly run away. Like a brother told us some few years back. He said he had this statement that if somebody did not they didn't have the revelation. Go now, but you have already had. Revelation or no revelation is on your record. After you have served for years, and you have had everything to say now, you want to Google it wrong, it's too late. Cain wanted to do that one time, but before he go, a mark was put on him. So we have reached river of no return. So it is either you make it, or you are doomed. So you have to decide for yourself. Because some, me, I don't have time for... We are not here to each other. I was telling some people a couple weeks back. I said, this message is what connects us together. I said, you are out of this message. I don't know you. I don't know you again. Yes. And I was saying it in that church. This is the message that I know. I only know you through this message. Will I have known you before? Did I know your village? Did you know me? Is it not this message that gathered us? Is there another place where we met? Is this message now? Our status in education is not the same. So in line of education, many of us will have never met. Tribe, we didn't come from the same area. Many of us are not from the same state. Not to talk of town. Is it something that gathered us from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and we are here? If you don't want to follow the message again, that is the end of our relationship. That's the end of our relationship. Nothing. Nothing. There's nobody that is too precious, that is too close, that is too familiar, that I cannot part ways with when it comes to this message. If I can part ways with my own parents, who else will I not part ways with? So if you say you are in the message, be serious with the message. And be seen to be serious. If you are not serious with the message, don't think that you have my sympathy. Because you don't even have God's own sympathy. Neither did God even display sympathy. He only showed compassion. And that is doing his will. If the will of God is for me to excommunicate you, I will excommunicate you. Oh, that is it. That's compassion. If that is the will of God, when you walk around that corridor of excommunication, you are booted out. May the Lord be our help.
But I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. Yes, he's able to keep that which I have committed. Oh, unto him again. Oh yes, I know, but I know who I have believed. Yes, I am persuaded that my God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him again that day. While we have our heads bowed, before we go into the prayer session, this few statements that have been made now. If you feel that you have the need of God's help concerning one thing or the other that I've said, will you lift up your hand to the one that brought you here on earth, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that cannot be changed but that can change all things, from whom all blessings flow, and you do believe that he can hear your prayer, grant your desire, meet your needs, solve your problem, which I as a mortal or any other person can never? Just lift up your hand to him as we offer this word of prayer. Gracious eternal Father, we are grateful unto you for your grace that have gathered us in this wonderful message of the hour. We can say without any iota of heart that since the creation, this is the most glorious age, when all your mind is made known. We thank you for it. And out of billions of people on earth, you have caught just few. We thank you because you count us worthy to be among the few. Help us not to misuse the opportunity. Help us not to walk in the path of your wrath. Help us not to displease you in anything. Let the vision of the purpose of our existence on earth and being brought to this message, let it be bright before us, Lord. Under any circumstances, day and night, may that vision be bright, Lord. Let it not be a blood vision, oh Father. May it strengthen our hearts. May it give us determination. May it help us to seek you both day and night, Father. Oh Lord Jesus, may none of us fall by the wayside. For whatsoever reason your children have raised their hand, defiling the law of gravity, may you grant those requests, Father.
May you meet the needs behind them. We pray, dear God, that our desires and our needs will turn to testimonies. Thank you, dear Father. As we go into prayers, inspire us to pray. Anoint us with faith. Help us to become saints. To all the substance of our desires, that will leave this place happy, O God, at the end of this. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.
You have done, you have done, was done, was done, and you will come, and you will come, oh Lord. I have done, I have done,
because you care for us. I brought this request unto you because we know you have done what no man has ever done, and you will do what no man can do. Righteous is enough, Father. Help thou our unbelief. Take away doubt from our heart. Plant faith that have air on the chest. Plant it deep in our heart, Father. Lord, may you give us expectation and all confession that is positive. Not just a kind of confession, but confession with revelation. Take away fear and doubt, oh God. Every negativity, may they disappear from us. We are in expectation of the answers to all our requests. May you bring them to manifestation. That which we have asked for spiritual, for physical, for health, our pastor and the church, the everything, they are all before you. May you give answers to them, dear Father. When you do, they will come back and give you thanksgiving. Thank you, eternal Father. May our faith may never shake, Holy Way God. Blessed be your wonderful name. As we depart from this auditorium, we are not leaving your presence. We are just going home to continue in our fellowship with you. You brought us here safely. May you take us back home safely. May your presence go before us. Protect everyone on the highway and in the byway, Father. Give us a wonderful night rest, Lord. May you wake us strong and healthy in the morning. Thank you, eternal Father. Lord, by Sunday, you tarry, I will come here again. May we see your presence. The journey's idle song this weekend, may the journey be successful. May each one go smoothly and don't pass through the Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petition, since we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Next physical gathering is Sunday. The wedding at Abeokuta is Saturday, and the church is invited. So those who can make it, you try to make it, trusting God to see us through. The Lord bless you richly. I say, God bless you richly. Shall we rise up on our feet? Let's remember to constantly pray for the pastor in our homes for God's quick touch. Believe that God still work miracles, and He will do that for us again. God bless you. Brother David, God bless you. We appreciate your presence with us. God bless you. Fight on the battle, brethren.